بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Fiqh of Business, The Rulings on Riba Part 2. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضى وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, respected brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome, أهلا وسهلا, and welcome inshaAllah to today's lesson on the fiqh of business. And inshaAllah ta'ala we'll be continuing in the chapter of the riba from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam by the noble Hafiz scholar of Hadith Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and our Shaykh Afiyah Muhammad Salim will be covering his commentary on these hadith inshaAllah from Masjid al-Nabawi. And he is building on his ulama, going back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, we began the issue or the subject of riba in the previous lesson, and we covered the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described riba as being of 73 different types, the least of which is like that big sin that he mentioned, the sin of a man marrying his own mother. And the Prophet ﷺ, after warning about this and saying that all of those who are involved in the transaction of riba share in the sin, we now come to the next hadith inshaAllah ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he mentions before we go to the next hadith the importance of learning about riba, because a Muslim, practically speaking, he should seek to feed himself with the halal. He should look for what they call luqma halal, the halal provision, so that his life will be blessed. In fact, the hadith or narration says that when a person goes for hajj and he says labbaik Allahumma labbaik, if his earning, his provision was from the halal, then the voice will reply, or the angels will reply, labbaik wa sa'adaik, your calling has been answered and you have achieved happiness. Labbaik wa sa'adaik. And if a person he earned from prohibited provision and he goes for the hajj and he says labbaik Allahumma labbaik, the voice would reply to him, la labbaik wa la sa'adaik, your hajj is not accepted and you will not have reward. Irja ma'zuran la ma'jura, go back having sinned, not having reward. So here we see the importance of a person that all of his ibadat are built on how he earned his living. When we pray, the clothing we wear, when we give sadaqah, where did we earn it from? When we perform hajj or fasting, what do we break our fast with? What did we use to bring ourselves on the hajj? All of these things, they are based upon how we earned our living. So it's important for a person to seek the halal and stay away as much as he or she can from what Allah has forbidden. What Allah has forbidden, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay, so let us go together for the first hadith in tonight's lesson, inshaAllah. This hadith, we'll read it together in Arabic, inshaAllah, and then cover the translation and the commentary. وَعَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لَا تَبِيعُ الذَّهَبَ بِالذَّهَبِ إِلَّا مِثْلًا بِمِثْلٍ. Okay, so pause here in the middle of the hadith. Narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, do not sell gold for gold. Accept like for like. Do not sell gold for gold. Accept the like amount for the like amount. So here the Sheikh, he mentions that whenever you have a sale, whenever you have the buying and selling of two things, you have a price and you have the thing being bought, the product. You have the price and the product. And gold traditionally was used for the price of things. Traditionally, people, they would use gold, it's like a liquid currency by which they would give value to things. And this came about after the age of when they would trade or barter things. In the beginning, what happened is when somebody wanted to buy something, he would trade what he had. Somebody had some wheat and he wanted to buy some salt, he would go and trade the wheat for the salt. If somebody, they had some rice and they wanted meat, then he would go and make a deal and sell the rice and buy the meat. If somebody had fruit and he wanted to buy dates, again they would exchange. This is called the age of bartering, or the time of bartering. But after this age or this time when people would barter, and even today it still takes place in some places, the idea came about to make a currency, which is to buy using gold or buy using silver. And so this is called nuqud, or currencies. And the reason why they came up with this idea is it's not always easy to trade one product for another. Sometimes you don't need the product that the person wants to trade with you. Or say somebody's traveling to a distant land. It's not easy to bring the product that he has to that distant land to buy the products from the other land. So the idea came up to mint currency, or to print coins made out of gold or silver, and that those coins, it would be very easy to travel with them. And then you could go and you could buy whatever you needed with those gold coins or those silver coins. So here the Sheikh, he says that gold is the value of things. In gold you can measure the value of things. It's like a currency that is universally accepted, and how we measure the value of things. And so the Prophet in the Hadith, he said, do not sell gold for gold. Do not exchange gold for gold unless they are exactly equal in quantity. And so basically, it's not allowed to exchange two quantities of gold unless they're exactly the same in weight. And to understand this, first of all, you have different types of gold, right? What types of gold do we have? You have nuggets of gold, right? Nuggets and bars of gold. You also have another type of gold, which is coins. When the nuggets and the bars are printed into coins, we have gold coins. And we also have a third type of gold, which is when it's made into jewelry, like earrings and necklaces and bracelets. So these are the three main types of gold you have. You have the main chunks or measures of gold, like the bars, and you have the coins that are minted, and you have the jewelry. So what is forbidden with all of these types of gold, if you want to exchange any type of gold for another type of gold? It has to be exactly the same in weight. If you want to exchange nuggets of gold for other nuggets of gold, they have to be exactly the same in weight. Otherwise it's riba. If you want to exchange nuggets of gold for coins of gold, they have to be the exact same weight. Otherwise, if there's any increase when exchanging these two currencies or these two things, it becomes riba. If you want to exchange nuggets for jewelry, It has to be exactly the same way. Mithlan bi mithl, as the Prophet said. Otherwise, it is riba. If you want to exchange coins for jewelry, it also has to be the exact same weight. So any way you exchange it, bars of gold for jewelry, bars of gold for coins, coins for bars of gold, coins for jewelry, they have to be, when you exchange it, they have to be hand in hand, they have to be exactly the same weight. Not a single gram more on either side of the scale. Otherwise, it becomes, what does it become? Riba, that's right. That is the definition, as the Prophet ﷺ is defining here for us, of the riba. So now the question comes up. If somebody, they have some gold nuggets and they want to buy jewelry, necklaces. Obviously the process of making the necklaces, it takes effort, the jeweler had to spend effort to make it into a necklace. So if you come to him and say, here's 10 grams of gold, give me 10 grams of a necklace, is he going to accept? He said, I can't give you more than 10 grams, that's going to be riba. So what is the way out? What can you do if you want to buy, if you have gold and you want to buy gold, but one of the types of gold is more expensive than the other, what can one do? Yes, Brother Muhammad?
Pay the extra labor.
Pay the any, if you add any extra, then that's going to be riba.
Labor. You have to be in between something.
That's right, that's right. You put something in between. So you sell your nuggets of gold for anything else, silver for example. Now that silver, when you use it to buy the gold, does it have to be the same weight? No, of course not. Silver is much less in value than gold. So now you can give him, when the Prophet system, he said, when you exchange different types, gold for silver, he said it's okay to be different in weight. But it should be hand in hand. You shouldn't delay it for a future date. So you sell your gold for silver, and then you buy the gold again using that silver, and you can increase the amount. That way, this is the way to that the transaction can be done without involving the riba. Also, what's very interesting that Sheikh mentions is that any exchange of gold, even if you have some types of gold that are of lower quality, less purity, if you have pieces of gold that's broken up and you have whole pieces of gold, if you have used gold and new gold, it doesn't matter. Whatever type the gold is, it has to be the same in weight. There cannot be a single increase on either side. Even if this is old gold and this is new gold, it has to be the same weight. This is what the Prophet said. He said, "Al-dhahabu fil-dhahabi." Gold is for gold, mithlan bi mithlan, the same weight for the same weight. Now, okay. So, but if you want to exchange gold for another amount of gold, you can sell that gold for some silver or anything else, dollars, and then you can use the dollars to buy the gold. Does that involve riba? No, because you're exchanging two different types. You're not exchanging gold for gold. You're exchanging currency for gold, silver for gold, and this is allowed in inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so this is basically the issue of the gold. Also, today we have paper currency, right? These days you have dollars, sterling pounds, euros, rupees, whatever you like, right? Is it allowed to exchange dollars for sterling pounds, for example? Is it allowed to exchange rupees for dollars? The scholars say this is no problem. This is allowed to do that. Because these things are, you're exchanging one currency for another, but it has to be done hand in hand. You cannot delay exchanging the currency even one moment. Imam Malik said a very interesting example. If you go to a currency exchange office and you have $100 and you want euros, he said that the man has to have the euros in his hand and you give him the dollars and you exchange it immediately. If you give him the dollars and he goes to the back of the office and comes back with the euros, he said this is haram. Even that little amount of delay becomes haram, because this is a different type of riba. This is called riba of delay. Right? This is why if you give somebody a loan and he pays you back, or if you give somebody some money on condition that he gives you some later on with more, that's type of riba, right? So Imam Malik said even if you give him the $100, he has to, you have to take the euros with the other hand, basically. Has to be immediate. But it doesn't have to be the same in quantity, because they're two different types, right? Dollars is different than pounds. So this is allowed. And the same thing goes for silver. The same ruling, it applies to silver. If you would like to exchange silver for silver, it has to be the same exact weight. If you're selling silver for silver, it has to be the exact same weight. Now, okay, what about if somebody, he gives another example, somebody, he wants to buy some gold, 1 kilogram of gold, and he has 950 grams of gold that he wants to buy from him. So he gives him the 950 grams of gold, and he takes the 1 kilogram, and he says, I'll come back tomorrow with the other 50 grams of gold. Is that allowed? No, because it's not complete exchange. These are the two conditions for the gold. It has to be the exact same amount, and it has to be immediate. If you're going to pay any amount later on, then that is also a type of riba. So the Shaykh, he said, some people, they come up with a trick. He says, here's 950 grams of gold, and I'll give you 1 kilogram, and I'll give you another 50 grams, so that you can give it back to me today. And then you can pay me back for these 50 grams of gold tomorrow. That's a trick to get out of riba. You see, when the two people are exchanging, he's trying to make it equal. So he says, here, I'll give you some gold, so that your side will be equal to mine. And then later on, you come and bring me that gold that I gave you. Which is that's a trick to try to get around exchanging gold that's not equal in weight.
Like a smart Allah.
Yeah. No. That's right. That's completely not allowed. No. It's like a lachy. Alright. This applies also. Let's see if there's anything else in this. So selling that to be, do not sell gold for gold except like for like, the same weight for the same weight. It has to be exact the same weight. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا تَشِفُّوا بَعْضَهَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Do not make any of the two sides of the gold heavier than the other, even in the slightest bit. Do not make any sides of the gold even slighter than the other, slightly more heavy than the other. And then he said, do not sell silver for silver except like for like. The same thing applies to the silver. And the Shaykh, he said something very interesting. The word used in the hadith is wariq. فَبَعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذَا. In the surah, in talking about the story of the people of the Kahf, the cave, right? And surah number 18. The story when they went in the cave and after 300 years they came out, then one of them said to the other, take this silver currency, wariqikum, hadi. Take this silver currency and go to the people and buy some food for us to eat, right? Are you familiar with the story? So what's interesting, that word, wariqikum, hadi, he said, take this currency, this coin that I have. And it could have been that he said, take some money and buy the food. But why did he say, take this particular coin? The Shaykh said, it's very interesting. As soon as they saw that coin, it uncovered the story behind the people of the cave. Because that coin was minted in such a way that they knew right away when they saw it, this coin is a very, very old coin from 300 years ago. And so that coin was a means of uncovering the secret of the people of the cave, and everybody came up to the cave and they discovered what had happened to them. If they had taken some other thing, some gold or some other item to trade for food, nobody would have known that they were from an ancient time. But this was a way that Allah caused the news to spread. But in any case, the silver is also prohibited to exchange unless it's like for like. You could have nuggets of silver, coins of silver, jewelry, and if you want to exchange those nuggets of silver for this jewelry, it has to be exactly the same weight. Cannot be any bit more. It cannot be any bit more. What if you have gold and silver? You want to trade the silver for this gold. Can you have increase?
Yes.
You can have increase because the types are different. Different types, increase is allowed. The same type, no increase is allowed. Silver, gold, and we'll see also there's other types too. Now, okay, so because gold and silver, they are, the prohibited riba is prohibited in them. And there's another hadith that actually adds four more types of things where it's prohibited to increase one or the other. The other four things we're going to see in the next hadith. So let us go together, inshallah, and read the hadith. وَعَنْ عُبَادَ إِمَنْ صَامِدْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَّمَ الذَّهَبُ بِالذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةُ بِالْفِضَّةِ وَالْبُرُّ بِالْبُرِّ وَالشَّعِيرُ بِالشَّعِيرِ وَالتَّمْرُ بِالتَّمْرِ وَالْمِلْحُ بِالْمِلْحِ. Okay, in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, gold is for gold, silver is for silver, wheat is for wheat, barley is for barley, dates are for dates, and salt is for salt. Okay, so those are the six types of things that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's explaining to us have riba in them. They had riba. And the author, he brings this other hadith to show the other four types. The other four types of riba. Okay, so in this hadith here, it talks about the new types that are mentioned are wheat. Wheat. And wheat has many different types. The Shaykh, he said that you have so many different types of wheat. But some are of good quality, some are of low quality. Some they use for eating, some they use to feed to animals. But, and each of them they have their own name. They have a different name in the Arabic language. But anything that's called wheat, it has to be exchanged. If you're going to exchange wheat for wheat, it has to be exactly the same weight. You cannot have any increase at all in either of the two types of wheat. The same goes for barley. Barley, it has to be the same exact type, the same exact amount. Even if you have a good quality barley and a low quality barley, when you're on an exchange, can you exchange 2 kilograms of the low quality barley for 1 kilogram of the high quality barley? Is that allowed? No. Because this is a type of commodity that the Prophet ﷺ said it has to be mithlan bimithl, the same for the same. Now, also, the Prophet ﷺ, he added dates, or he mentioned also that the dates, they have to be exchanged in the same exact amount. And you have many types of dates. In fact, there's over 100 types of dates. Each of them has their own different names. Some of them are very expensive, some of them are very cheap. Some of them, if they dry up, the Shaykh said there's some that are very sweet, but if it dries up, it's harder than wood. It's very hard to eat if it becomes dry. So people, they exchange the dates. If they want to exchange one type of dates for a different type of dates, How does it have to be? Exactly the same amount. Any addition is riba. This is prohibited. This is a major, major sin. This is the big sin that the Prophet ﷺ talked about. Any addition, if you're selling two kilograms of low quality dates and you're buying it with 1 kilogram of more expensive dates, that person has done a major, major sin. One of the biggest sins in the sight of Allah. So this is a very serious, serious issue. Same thing goes for all the other things. Gold for gold. And you can see how nowadays in the currencies, when the bank, they say, will give you 100,000 and you give us back 150,000, is it the same for the same? No. So there you have riba. And then in addition to that, they say, you will give it to you now and you give us later on. Is that allowed when you have two equal things? Two? That's another type of riba. What did Imam Malik say? It has to be one hand and take it from the other. Don't even go to the back of the room. Nowadays they say 30 years. So you see how the types of riba are being practiced? SubhanAllah. Very, very major prohibitions in Islam. Okay, so here when the Prophet ﷺ is talking about dates, the dates also have to be exchanged in similar, exact quantity, the exact same quantity. But something interesting here is when you buy dates, traditionally do they sell dates by weight or by volume? Traditionally, in Mecca, Medina, in those days, and maybe some societies still, they sell it by volume. They don't sell dates. It depends on the product. Gold has always been sold by weight. Dates has traditionally usually been sold by volume. And so one thing that's interesting is that if it's commonly known in a society that you sell something by volume, can you use weight when you're exchanging the two things?
No.
No, because that might cause somebody to do riba without even knowing it. Because when he does the weights, it might actually turn out that a bigger volume is being given and a lesser volume. And the rule of the same for the same, it has to be what is most common in that society. How it's measured. Is it measured in weight? Then you have to go by weight. If it's measured by volume, you have to go by volume. Okay? So one other issue that comes up. What if you don't have a good scale? So you say to somebody, take these dates and I'll take these other dates. Or you don't have anything to measure them with. Or you have a scale that's broken. It's not very accurate. Is it allowed to exchange that way?
No.
Why isn't it allowed?
Because one might give you a little more than one.
That's right. And what would happen? That would be?
Yeah,
riba. And the rule they say in Arabic, they say, not knowing they're the same is the same as knowing that they're different. Because that ignorance, obviously if you're not sure that they're the same, if you don't have the knowledge of that, then it's more likely, it's just like knowing that they're different. So one should avoid that. Also we have soul for soul. We're going to close with this part, inshallah. This is very interesting. Salt. So the Shaykh, he said, why? We have gold. What are the types of things that rivers forbidden? Who can mention them? Gold, silver, wheat, barley, dates. The last one?
Salt.
Shaykh said, why is salt being mentioned with these important things? You know, gold and silver, wheat is the food for the whole society. Salt. He said, salt is something very important in the life of a person. If without salt, the human being cannot live. But too much salt, you have to have the right amount of salt. And the interesting thing about the salt, the Shaykh said, is that salt is not is only found in two places. It's either found in mines, where there's like a salt swamp, and the water comes up and it brings salt out, and then the water evaporates, and it leaves the salt. And you can find it in those mines, and they have them in certain places, like in Africa and other places. Or you can get it from some oceans, some water, but not every water. Because some people, they might think you just take some ocean water and dry it and you have salt. But actually, the ocean water has many different types of salt in it. Not all of it is edible. So if you were to dry out the ocean water, you would get other things with the potassium, you would get chloride, you would get, you know, not, you wouldn't only get salt. So it has to be processed in a very special way. And he said in these mines, in Africa, you find all kinds of, just look at gold mines, silver mines, even you have rocks that have kohol in them. You know the antimony that people put in their eyes? They're actually mined from places in Africa where they pull out a rock, they open the rock, and there's antimony inside, kohol. The same way, they have certain mines where you can find the salt. Now, so the salt, it has to be equal for equal. Somebody, they want to sell some salt for another type of salt, then it has to be the same for the same, hand in hand. It cannot be delayed. If they want to exchange salt for barley, salt for gold, can they exchange it in different quantities?
Yes.
Can they exchange it at different times? No. These types, these six types, there's two types of riba. There's riba of increase, right? It's when you sell the same type for another, for the same type, and you change the amount. That's forbidden, right? That's called riba fadl, riba of increase. And then you have something called riba of delay. And that's when you exchange either the same type for the same type, or even one type for another and you delay it. That is also prohibited. Why? The Prophet said, yadan biyad, hand in the hand. So if you want to sell dates for wheat or dates for barley, can you say, I'll give you 1 kilogram of dates today, and you give me 10 kilograms of barley tomorrow? That's also a type of riba. That's also a type of prohibited riba. So finally here, this is the summarization, inshallah, of this important, very, very important chapter, which is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the currency, the thing being sold and the thing being bought, if they're the same, you see this, the gold is a currency, silver is a currency. The price and the item being bought are the same. Do you see how this is? Gold is a currency, right? If you're buying gold, the price, you're paying for it with gold. And you're buying gold, right? So the item being bought and the currency are both the same. When this happens, they have to be equal. If you're exchanging dollars for dollars, then can I exchange with you $100 for $150? It has to be the same. Any increase is riba. Any increase is riba. So the same goes for and gold, dollars and sterling, pounds and euros. They're related to gold and silver. They're considered under the chapter of gold and silver. So when you exchange the two things, the price and thing being bought are the same, then they have to be equal in quantity. If the price and the thing being bought are different, you're exchanging silver for gold, you're exchanging salt for wheat, you're exchanging barley for dates, then the amount can be different, but it still has to be exchange at the same time, hand in hand. Hand in hand. So these are the two types of riba, inshallah. And it's only in these six type of things. This is what's mentioned in the hadith. Yes.
If you go to
the
church, and if you're going to change money for money, and it's the same, how can you change it?
Why would you increase one amount over the other?
No. How could, if it's got to be the same, how could you change it?
Okay. Say somebody has a $100 bill, and he wants $1 bills.
Oh, okay. Like
so then he goes to the person,
right,
the store or the changer, and he says, "Can you break my $100 bill and give me ones?" He says, "Okay, I'll do it, but I'm only going to give you $99. Is that allowed?
No.
That's riba. That's riba. What he took, that extra dollar, is riba. And the same thing goes for gold. I'll give you this nugget of gold, this big chunk of gold, and you give me little pieces of gold. He says, "No problem. I'll give you the little piece of gold. I'll give you the jewelry. I'll give you coins. But I'm going to keep some of that gold for some reason or another." That is haram. That's a major, major sin. That's riba. Now the real... Yes, brother.
What about gift cards to cash?
Gift cards to cash. It should be equal, right? Because it's cash. And they're both the same quantity, right? If you're exchanging cash for another form of cash, which is represented in a different way, it should be the exact same amount. Now you have the issue of a service fee. Like some credit card companies, they charge a service fee. And the question here comes up, is there a real service being provided? Like for example, if I go to an ATM and I put my ATM card in and I have $100 in my account and I take out $100, they're going to take $102. So it could be, you might consider this riba. It would be considered riba if it was a hand-in-hand exchange between two parties. But the issue here is, are they charging the $2 for offering you the service of bringing you the money and making it available to you? You know, so usually the fee that's added on is not really considered riba. Because they're doing the service for you. Just like if you told somebody, you know, "Can you go and get this salt, or go and get this money from my house?" And he goes and gets it for you and brings it to your door. Then you give him like $2 as a fee. That would be okay. But if you go to a counter, or you know, you go to your own bank, and the bank says, "You know, I'm going to give you some cash, and you give me back cash," it has to be exactly the same. So I think for some type of service fee, there is a little bit of room for allowing that if there's a real service being done, if they're really doing something. Like for example, you exchange, when you go to the Saraf, the money exchanger, he says this is the exchange rate, but then he charges you a little bit more also. And This is allowed because they're two different, you know, they're two different types. But, you know, normally speaking, they should be exactly the same. This might be like an exceptional case. But normally speaking, two Muslims or any two people, when they're exchanging money, it has to be the same. It has to be the same. That could be riba, Allahu a'lam. I didn't think about the gift card issue, but that could be a type of riba. You know, if they...
The gift card you buy for somebody, you give $50, they give a piece of plastic, it's $50.
Right. Okay. That's the way it should be, yes. But if they... The issue comes up, say that when you get a gift card, they give you more. So you give them $50 and they give you $55.
Well, like some people, like if they have, you know, a $100 gift card to some place,
yes,
they really don't want it, so they say to someone else, "You know, I got this $100 gift card,
you
pay $75.
Yes. But the thing is, gift card is not cash because it's only valid for a certain store. It's more like a good, you could say. You know, because it's not, you can't buy anything with it. But the issue would be, the issue would be like if you're exchanging two types of cash things, two things that are both, cashable. You know, that would be where you... A check and money. There shouldn't be any difference because the check is cash basically. So if somebody who cashes checks, he shouldn't really charge. He shouldn't give like a percentage discount on that cash. He can give a service fee, I think, again, the service fee issue, let's leave it aside for now. But normally speaking, if somebody gives you cash, you should give them the full amount. Somebody comes to you, he's in a desperate situation. He says, here's a check, and I need the cash right now, and, you keep 10%. That would not be allowed. Because he's giving you cash, essentially. And that would be a type of riba. No.
Is it okay to use like checks and debit cards in place of cash? If it's like sometimes you're able to spend in cash, but maybe for some reason use a debit card. Is it right to do that since the banks they deal in riba?
Right.
Things in cash?
What I heard from the ulama is that debit cards are better than credit cards. The credit cards are, based on interest, and you might fall into interest without knowing it. You might buy too much and can't pay it off. Whereas a debit card is like you have the money there, so you're just paying it, and it's just like something more convenient for you than paying in cash. So it's always best to pay in cash, and I think debit is like the next best thing, inshallah. Paying by check is Muslims invented checks, actually. And all it is a promissory note, basically saying, this, I promise you that you can get this money from my account. So there's nothing wrong with using checks, inshallah. The only issue you have is, to use checks, you have to put your money in a river-based bank. So that's, in this society, you have the issue now, what do you do with your money? If you don't want to put it in a river-based bank, what can you do with your money? You know, could put it in your mattress. Somebody might steal it, right? No, so that's the only other issue, inshallah. Any other questions? Inshallah. Going once? Twice? Okay. Jazakum Allah khair. Allah knows best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And praise to Allah.